Late last week, the South Australian government launched a royal commission into those suspected of exploiting and withholding water in the Murray-Darling Basin. Actions made after investigations earlier this year suggested irrigators further up the river in New South Wales may be getting away with using too much water. On Monday, we spoke with SA Water Minister Ian Hunter about why the state government launched this commission and why it is needed. But now we're going to examine how successful it might be. Joining us now is Professor Ross Thompson, Chair of Water Science and Director of the Institute for Applied Ecology at the University of Canberra. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
So what does your role as Chair of Water Science entail?
So I work with a lot of agencies, including the Murray-Darling Basin Authority and state governments, on all things to do with the ecology of freshwater systems. And so, logically enough, we spend a lot of time working on issues to do with the Murray-Darling Basin and advising government and also advising irrigator groups on occasion around how much water does the river need and also mechanisms for managing water in the river.
Now, earlier this year, you wrote an article highlighting the flaws you saw in the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. What were some of the key issues you discussed?
Look, I mean, I think the key issues are not so much to do with the plan, they're to do with the constitutional basis for the plan. Water in Australia is a state asset under the Constitution, and so there's always been a vulnerability in the plan that said that the Commonwealth can set all the rules it likes, but if the states don't comply or are slack on compliance, then the risk is the plan will fail, and it'll fail not necessarily because there's less water in the system. It'll fail because the trust between the states will break down.
And do you see that as having begun to happen?
Look, I think this has been a really serious bump in the road. I think that the states have responded quite maturely. I was really concerned when the Four Corners article came out that was going to cause some of the states to immediately withdraw from the plan or to claim that the plan wasn't working. Really, there's been an appetite for looking into these issues. There's been an appetite for solving them, but there hasn't really been a narrative which says, let's get rid of the plan.
Now, given the issues that you highlighted are constitutionally based, is that easily fixed?
We have a lot of constitutionally based issues in Australia, and I think the consensus is none of them are easily fixed. Essentially the basis for the plan very much puts the Commonwealth in a role of trying to ensure that there's fairness of water use across the states. The states are responsible for managing and ensuring there's compliance with water plans. The federal government provides a large amount of money to the states through the Murray-Darling Basin Plan process. So I suppose the federal government could withhold that money or demand its return if a state didn't comply. But really it is a matter of keeping everyone willing and making sure there's enough transparency to ensure that everyone is sticking with the conditions of the plan.
I'm speaking with Professor Ross Thompson from the University of Canberra about SA's Royal Commission into the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. Now, obviously, that idea of transparency has begun to break down, which is given the launch of this Royal Commission into issues of water and irrigation. Has there been something as large a scale an investigation?
There certainly have been Royal Commissions in the past, and right from the earliest days of Australia, there have been inquiries into managing water and whether there's rorting of various systems. A Royal Commission into the Murray-Darling Basin Plan hasn't happened before. I actually think that it's actually a little bit of a pity that the Commonwealth haven't agreed to have a Commonwealth-supported Royal Commission, because, as I said, I think trust is the most important currency we're dealing with here. And I don't really think that a South Australian Royal Commission is going to come up with anything beyond what you would expect, which is that there's concerns that New South Wales, there's certainly issues with potential water theft up there, whereas I think a Commonwealth federal Royal Commission could actually make sure that everyone trusted the process a little bit more.
Now, the issues with the plan have been sort of considered since early July of this year. Why do you think it's taken so long for someone to launch a commission into this issue?
I know there's been a lot of discussion between South Australia and the Commonwealth around trying to encourage a Commonwealth Royal Commission. I think that's been part of it. I also think everyone has been making sure that they have their own affairs in order before they start throwing too many stones. All of the states have at various times had concerns over water theft, and you'd want to make sure that your own compliance was pretty sparkly clean before you started challenging other states to improve theirs.
Now you alluded to what you believe the outcome of the Royal Commission might be, but how successful do you think this will be in opening up further discussion into the Murray-Darling Basin plan?
Look, I think it's actually a really important part of the discussion, and there's a whole set of inquiries going on. There's one on compliance being led by the Murray-Darling Basin Authority. There's a couple of inquiries, including some potential legal action going on in New South Wales. There's the Royal Commission in South Australia. All of that, I think, is helpful. It makes sure that we're talking about the issues. It makes people realise that the Murray-Darling Basin Plan reform process is not at an end. It really is still something which is ongoing and something we need to pay attention to. So I think it'll be useful. I think we'll have a useful dialogue around it.
And you believe this will be a useful step into continuing to refine the plan?
Yes, I think it will, and I think it really does send a signal that South Australia is still very committed to the plan and that it has real concerns. And so in terms of sending a signal to the other states, I think it's worthwhile. It's quite an expensive signal to send. Royal commissions aren't cheap things. But nonetheless, I think it does show that South Australia is really taking this seriously.
Do you believe there would be a better way of approaching this issue than a Royal Commission?
Look, I think there's, as I've indicated, I think there's better ways than a state Royal Commission. I think the risk with state-based commissions is that they throw stones at other states. A Royal Commission at the Commonwealth level would, of course, have a little bit more gravitas. And there are also major reviews for the Murray-Darling Basin Plan coming up. The Productivity Commission will carry out a major review next year. And I suspect that those are going to be taken as being a little bit more of a consensus view. But as I said, I think all of these are about transparency. And so the more commissions and inquiries and reviews that are going on, the more confident people will be that the process is working.
Well, Professor, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you.
Professor Ross Thompson, Chair of Water Science and Director of the Institute for Applied Ecology at the University of Canberra, discussing the state's Royal Commission into the Murray-Darling Basin Plan.